This informative podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store. Visit healthrangerstore.com/science for a selection of science-backed, laboratory-tested superfoods and nutritional products. Thank you for your support. All right, welcome to CWC Labs. This is Mike Adams here. I'm going to give you a quick tour of the triple quad mass spec instrument that we use. It's one of four mass specs that we have in the lab. The reason I've got this microphone on, there's a lot of noise in the lab because we have vacuum pumps, multiple vacuums and vacuum turbines running for every instrument. But what I'm going to show you is exactly how this works. How do we test for pesticides or herbicides or organic molecules? So if you've ever been curious about this, I'm going to show you exactly how it happens. In order to be tested for pesticides or other contaminants, all foods have to be turned into a liquid. So they go into this filter vial right here, which is a 0.2 micron filter. And then they go into this LC stack. This stands for liquid chromatography. And in here, let me see if I can open it now. Yeah. In here, you've got many different samples, different food samples in here, different standards, pesticides, glyphosate, different things in here that we're testing. This is a temperature-controlled environment, and there's our injection syringe and valve controls there. Now, liquid chromatography, what it does is it separates compounds by time due to the chemistry of what's called the chromatography column, which is in this column compartment over here. Actually, I can open it up and show you. There. This is the LC column right here, and this column actually separates chemicals by time. What happens is you see these bottles above. These bottles contain different formulas, usually aqueous or water versus some kind of a strong solvent such as methanol or acetonitrile. In this case, we're actually using water with a buffer solution plus acetonitrile with some formic acid in both for ionization effect. So there's acids and buffers that go into these as well. There's a lot of chemistry involved in making this work exactly right. Oh, by the way, you can see the screen in real time that you're going to see an actual chromatogram appear here as we're going through this because I am running things right at this moment. And this up here, this is the real-time monitor of the mass spec instrument, and we can look at the real-time of the LC system here. Pressures for the different pumps, pressures for the system, flow rates, column temperatures, things like that. So once the sample goes through this column, it comes out of this line here, goes into the valve, and gets put into the mass spec instrument here. Now, this is a triple quad mass spec. This is the most sensitive mass spec that's currently available to labs, except perhaps maybe government labs. This instrument is used by the EPA, the FDA, forensic criminal labs. You can use it to test for recreational drugs and blood plasma. You can use it to detect pesticides, as we're doing. So the sample goes through this line into the mass spec instrument. There's a very small amount of liquid that we have to quantitate, which means we have to get a concentration. How many nanograms per milliliter, for example, would be a typical concentration? Usually it's mass over volume like that. You could say micrograms per mil or nanograms per mil. We typically work with nanograms per mil. So it goes through here. It gets ionized through here. It goes through a capillary and a spray with very high temperature nitrogen gas. And in this window, you can maybe see it's called Z-spray. It's actually electrospray ionization process. It's ionizing the molecules as they're atomized in the spray. It's giving them a charge. In this case, we're running this instrument in negative mode, so it's giving it a negative ionization charge. There's a hole in the outer cone there, and that hole allows charged molecules to enter the vacuum chamber and go into the first quadrupole of the system, which I'll explain in a second. But basically, this whole setup right here is designed to ionize liquids, turn them into atomized sprays, and then impart an electric charge on them. And I have control over the actual voltage of all of these components. So different molecules will respond better with negative charges, others with positive charges. others with different voltages and so on. So you can tune all of that based on the molecules that you're looking for. Now, once they enter the vacuum system here, they go into the first quadrupole. Now, this system is called a triple quad. It means a triple quadrupole. It actually has, you could say, three quadrupoles. There are really just two primary quadrupoles and a collision cell in between them, which I'll explain. But the first quadrupole, think of a quadrupole as a mass-to-charge ratio filter. It filters out molecules based on their mass-to-charge ratio. Now, since most molecules go through with a charge of minus one, you can say that it's a mass filter. So if you're looking at a specific mass, this is what you use. Now, let's say you want to look at, cannabidiol, CBD from cannabis. The mass of that without the ionization would be 314.2319, I believe, something in that, very close to that. If you're looking at glyphosate, the typical mass is 169.06, I believe. I'd have to check the decimal numbers on that. Cocaine is like 303 for those crime labs that are looking for cocaine. I think it's 303. That's what I was told. Every molecule has a molecular mass in Daltons. And this mass is it's just an aggregate sum of the masses of the atoms that are in the molecule. So you have a certain number of carbons, certain number of hydrogens, certain number of oxygens, and so on. You just add all those up, and that gives you the molecular mass. A lot of pesticides are in the range of 150 to 400. So that's a typical range that we're looking at. But by tuning the first quadrupole, we can filter out all the masses that we don't want and give us just the mass we're looking for. Today we're looking for glyphosate. And with negative ionization, the mass is essentially 168. So we're looking at 168, and the first quadrupole here filters out everything that isn't 168. So all we have left going through that system is 168, which we think is glyphosate, but we have to prove it. And that's where the collision cell in the second quadrupole comes into play. The collision cell, which is sometimes considered another quadrupole, but that's just semantics. Collision cell uses a gas. In this case, we are using nitrogen. No, we're using argon. On this instrument, sorry. We're using argon, a noble gas, very large molecules, to collide with the molecules of our glyphosate. And what happens in the collision cell, not only do you have molecules colliding with each other, but you also have an additional charge put on the collision cell. You're sort of zapping molecules into smaller fragments. And you're creating ion fragmentation. And this fragmentation creates a unique fingerprint based on the parent molecule. Some people call them daughter ions, some people call them ion fragments. Basically, if you take glyphosate at 168 and you zap it in a collision cell with a certain voltage, in this case I think we're using 15 volts, just a direct current 15 volt system, plus the argon gas, you will fragment that into smaller daughter ions, which include masses of 63, 150, and I believe 80. Now, these are all called daughter ions, and you can actually quant the concentration of the molecules based on the fragments, the daughter ions. For example, we're quanting on fragment 63, but we're using 150 and 80 as confirmation ions to make sure that we actually have glyphosate. But how do you detect those ions? Well, the answer is in the second quadrupole. So the second quadrupole is another mass-to-charge ratio filter. And we tune that second quadrupole to filter the ion fragments at 63. And it lets through only the 63. We have a detector at the very back of this instrument. This instrument is huge. It's like the size of a couple of refrigerators, it seems. It's very heavy. It's like 300 plus pounds all by itself. But at the back, we have a detector. So it goes through all these quadrupoles, collision cells, the electrospray ionization, all that stuff. And it ends up at a detector in the back. The detector then counts the number of molecules that have struck the detector. And this count appears on our screen, and that creates the peaks that you're seeing. So we can literally count the number of daughter ions or ion fragments that are hitting the detector after they've gone through the second quadrupole filter, which of course takes place after they've gone through the collision cell with a certain amount of voltage and a certain gas, in this case argon, which is after they've gone through the first quadrupole to filter out the parent mass, which is 168, which is after they've gone through the ionization interface here, which is after they've come out of the chromatographic column, that separates compounds by time. So all of these steps are necessary. And from that, we can get an actual integer count, how many molecules hit the detector. Now, we have to then compare that to known standards of, in this case, glyphosate. So we have known standards from companies like Sigma Aldrich that are, you know, standards providers and certified reference materials and so on. And we'll run the standards that we know are at certain concentrations, such as 1 microgram per mil, or we'll do dilutions of that to, you know, 10 nanograms per mil, for example, and have a multi-point concentration curve. And then we'll take our unknown food sample, we'll do an extract, which is a whole different tour. I'd have to give you a tour of a different process for that. And we'll compare that to our standards curve. And from that, we can tell you exactly the concentration of glyphosate in the original food. That's how it happens. And the reason I share all of this with you is because a lot of people tend to oversimplify this. They think, oh, there must be some magic machine that you take a piece of food and you stick it in like a microwave oven or something. You close the door and you hit go, and it just tells you how much glyphosate is in that machine. In truth, it doesn't work anything like that. It's actually quite complex, and this is a very sensitive method. You have to have everything right. You have to have the pH correct on your chemistry. You have to understand the chemistry of the column. You have to get retention of your compound and what's called elution of the compound based on strong solvent conditions. You got to do a lot of organic chemistry, a lot of unit conversion, a lot of math. And on top of that, your nitrogen has to work. Your argon has to work. And if it drops below optimum pressures, then it flags an error and the run stops. So everything has to work correctly for this. That's why this is not an inexpensive thing, nor it is a simple thing. Almost everybody else I've met in this industry has a PhD. Typically, this is PhD level work. And the amount of money that you see here, right here, that you're looking at is roughly $500,000 easily. That doesn't even count the annual service plans. So if you're willing to spend $500,000 and spend a couple of years learning organic chemistry, and you want to put in thousands of hours, you can do this too. This is how it works. In fact, you can learn it. It just takes a tremendous amount of time, money, and effort. But this is exactly how it's being done all across the world in labs everywhere. This is how we detect glyphosate or pesticides or plasticizer chemicals or hormones or recreational drugs or whatever you're looking for. This is how it's done. It's very different from a heavy metals instrument, by the way, which we have over there, an ICP-MS system. Totally different approach. But here, because we have to keep the organic molecules intact, we can't use harsh acids and we can't use inductively coupled plasma systems. We have to use very delicate organic chemistry with a very narrow, well, relatively narrow pH range. We can't destroy these molecules until we want to destroy them in the collision cell. And even then, we're destroying them in a predictable pattern to get a fingerprint of the molecule. And that's what tells us the molecule's identity and the molecule's concentration. So the thing that I've left out of here is the entire sample preparation process. How do you take a piece of food and turn it into a liquid and get all the pesticides out of it? Well, that's a science all by itself. Maybe I'll give you that tour one day, but it's that's a process, and it depends on the food matrix, whether it's a fruit and vegetable or an avocado or a high lipid type of supplement or food. So there's a lot to learn in this, and it's not a walk in the park, but it's very rewarding if you get it right. So this real-time diagram is pretty cool. It shows you that you've got the desolvation temperature, 600 C capillary. There's the kilovolts set on that. That's causing the ionization of the liquid that's coming into the system. This is all about the mass spec. Cone voltage here. You've got some lenses here which have different voltages. And then this is your first quadrupole, MS1. Remember, that's your mass to charge filter. And then this is your collision cell right here. That's bringing in your collision gas currently at 0.13 milliliters per minute. And there's the pressure of that gas. This is a real-time chart. We're actually in the middle of a run. So this is all real-time. You can see the exit voltage of the collision cell jumping around. So remember, this quadrupole filters out our parent mass, gives us the master molecule that we want, which with glyphosate is at 168 in negative mode. Then this collision cell here uses argon gas and voltage to shatter that molecule into ion fragments. And then this second quadrupole here filters out those ion fragments based on their mass to charge ratio. And then the detector is here, the PMT, which means a photomultiplier tube. It uses an interesting physics process to multiply the fragments that hit it using photon escalation, you might say, a multiplier. So, and that's how we can get such high sensitivity. So all these, from start to finish, the molecules make this journey in, you know, milliseconds, actually, or maybe microseconds. It goes through this whole thing very, very quickly. And if any of these things goes wrong, or if you don't have the settings correct, then you don't get the results you're looking for. We can also look at fluidics. This shows the real-time settings. This is our wash, our waste, a couple of different valves. This is our probe for the sample, and this is a syringe for putting in standards and testing ionization, mass spec settings. This is the LC column here, so this is where it comes from the liquid chromatography stack and goes into this valve and ends up going into the probe, which goes into the mass spec. You can also look at your chromatography pumps. You can look at performance, minimum, maximum pressures, and the change in pressure, what's called the ripple. You've got the compressibility of your solvents here. And on this screen, we're looking at the real-time daughter ions. So this real-time chart that you're seeing here is the transition from the master molecule of 168, which is glyphosate, to the daughter ion fragment of 63, with these voltages of cone voltage and collision voltage in negative ionization mode. So every line that you're seeing here is actually some amount of glyphosate fragments that are being detected by the PMT. The reason this looks so few is because right now this is not the time at which glyphosate comes out of the system. Remember, chromatography separates compounds by time, and right now this is actually just background. So we're not looking at anything that interesting here at the moment, but later on in this run you're going to see huge peaks of this as our daughter ions come out. But what's interesting is we can change this at any time. We could look at parent ions, or we could look at different charges. So that's how it works, folks. This is a representation of the actual hardware. This is how it happens. And this gives us the real-time feedback that we need to be able to produce the peaks like this. That is a glyphosate peak at 2.02 minutes with a total integration area of 33. And this is actually, you see this number right here, 100 PG? This is 100 picograms of glyphosate. 100 picograms. That's 1/1,000,000th of 100 micrograms, which is very small by itself. So it's 1/1,000,000th of 1/100,000,000th of a gram. That's what you're looking at right there. That's how sensitive this is. So there you go. That's what we're doing every day here at the Consumer Wellness Center Labs, cwclabs.com. And we've got a lot more coming, a lot of interesting results to share with you publicly. We'll share those results at naturalnews.com. And when we make short films, those films will be available at brightionfilms.com. So thank you for watching. Share this with those who might be interested. And I hope you've learned something today. It's interesting stuff. Take care. Thank you for watching. If you want to support our mission, visit us at healthrangerstore.com for the world's largest selection of lab-verified superfood and nutritional products for healthy living. It's at healthrangerstore.com.